Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. Has it been that long already? The new Bear season is upon us. So it's time for the Bears podcast, and with us, as always, is this your third year? This year,
third year. Third year, yes. Yeah, coming up on my contract extension, so save up those pennies.
Pennies, that's what I'm saving. actor, comedian Mike Pusateri. Mike, how are you? How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm greeting you from the Western White House here in sunny and very, very hot Los Angeles.
Yeah, anybody who follows you on Twitter, we know that's where you're at. You gave us, seems like, updates every 15 minutes as to where you were.
Yes, I'm sure they were very entertaining. I amused myself.
Like, wait, where is he going? Oh, he's going to California? He hasn't mentioned it. I'm shocked. Well, how's the weather out there? Because it's... we have LA weather here today. It's like 74 degrees and sunny. It's beautiful.
This is one of these weird times where the weather in Chicago is actually better, because here we're in the midst of this like incredible heat wave right now. So,
that's right. Are you at any risk of your power going out during the podcast? I saw that Newsom has issued a warning. Dispensation, right? It's like, I'm doing a Bears podcast, Gavin. You got to wait.
I said, Gavin, ain't no rolling blackouts, please. I got a podcast to do here, so we'll be good, because Gavin and I are tight. But yeah.
It's good. I'm glad you got an in with a gov.
Yeah, we're all set. No worries. He's a big fan of the podcast, as you can imagine.
So as always, you fans of the podcast can find the podcast and the newsletter. And the T-shirt shop, there's a new T-shirt in the shop. For those of you who listen to Remember This Crap, you can actually buy a version of the first jersey I ever owned. I alerted the people at Spreadshirt. You better stock up. You know how when Obvious Shirts has the 120 clock shirt and it sells out in minutes?
Right.
I'm sure the Bears 35 Andy shirt sell it just as fast. Wait, did I say Bears? It's not. It's not a Bears shirt. It could be any football team. That has the exact same numerical font as the Chicago Bears.
And as orange and blue. Who's going to know?
Yeah, that's right. Who's going to know?
Yeah.
So, Mike, where can people keep track of what you're up to?
You can find me on the Instagram at I am Mike Pusateri, and on the Twitter. Now, if you're going to join Twitter, you will not have seen the diary of my trip west to LA.
That's probably a reason. There's people signing up for Twitter today.
Right just now. For that?
Yeah. They never had an account before. Like, you know what?
Search the timeline, folks. At Mike Pusateri.
Do you have to you tweet and then you have to create the same tweet for Truth Social? Isn't that kind of a pain to have to?
Well,
is there a way to merge? You know, just have the content automatically go over so people can retruth you.
Listen, I think Truth Social is obviously where everything originates. Everything else is just a pale, weak copy of what goes on True Social.
So, the reason you head to LA this time of year, is it casting season, pilot season? You got to be out there so you can get...
If you want to get in for... No, pilot season starts in January. Now, this is what we call episodic season. So we're in episodic season right now, yes.
So this is for established shows that are looking for people. Is that right?
This is all your shows that are they all debut again in the fall in September, and then they run until May or so. So now that's all those shows are casting weekly. So we call that episodic season.
Yeah. So we expect to see you on pop up on say Abbott Elementary, like episode 5 this year.
You'll
start your run as the new assistant principal.
Anything is possible. We will keep you posted on here on the podcast. The listeners of the podcast will be first to know or 10th to know something, but you'll know it's something.
So this is ostensibly the Chicago Bears podcast, and the Bears actually have a game, a real one, scheduled for a Sunday against the San Francisco 49ers. It's going to be a matchup of two first-round draft pick quarterbacks from last year, Trey Lance and Justin Fields. And Darnell Mooney is talking smack for Justin Fields, basically saying, yeah, we're gonna make the Niners pay for drafting Trey instead of Justin.
Yeah, terrific.
Yeah, Justin's over there. Like Nick Bosa is going to be chasing me around, not you.
So he's also saying, hey, we're going to open up that playbook from our 3 to 4 plays.
Right. He's giving his own coordinator shit for not running. But why would you run? You don't run the good stuff in the preseason.
No.
And I think it just shows how good this Bears team is. They ran the same 3 plays over and over again. They went 3-0.
See, there you go. I was going to say, do the Bears have good stuff? I guess we'll find out soon enough. Let's please discount the preseason, record. Here we go. There's already a lot of false hope, being raised because...
There's two ways you can look at it. Okay, yeah. The Baltimore Ravens, who are perennially a playoff team, they take preseason more seriously than anybody else. They have won 22 preseason games in a row. I guess it's a little more than 7 full preseasons of undefeated football. And then there's also the fact that the 0-16 Lions went undefeated in the preseason that year.
The 1985 Bears went 0-4 in the preseason. So, yes. But do the Ravens apply the hits principle? So perhaps
Nobody does. Well, the Colts used to.
Right.
But only half the team. Only half the team. He couldn't get that. He couldn't get Carson Wentz to run the hits principle.
God, no.
He's like, I'm not listening to you. I listen to this other guy. I don't even know who I listen to that other guy.
Yeah.
Frank Reich. I guess that's what I listen to. I will say this for the Bears in the preseason. It was, I thought, very, I don't even know the word I'm looking for. Very evident that this is a much better organized football operation than the Matt Nagy monkey fucking of football that we watched for 4 years. Well, Nagy didn't even, the preseason's like, I'm not getting anybody hurt. Yeah, you're also not getting anybody ready. That's kind of the problem.
Right.
The Bears did little things in the preseason that a real competent football team does. Like, they successfully thwarted a possible replay challenge by hustling and getting to the line and getting a playoff against Seattle. Well, Pete Carroll's kind of chewing his gum 1,000 miles an hour, staring at the scoreboard, and all of a sudden the Bears had run a play. He didn't get to challenge it.
Right.
Twice, Justin Fields I think it was a 4th and short and a 3rd and short, drew the opposition offsides.
Right.
That shit never happened under the visor. That happened to them constantly.
All the time.
Never happened for them. Now, does that make a bad team good? No, it doesn't. But it's you'd rather have an organized bad team than a disorganized bad team.
Well, there's not a lot we know about this Bears. We know a few things. One, they've got a handful of established or young, players that you think are going to be part of the future. You've got your Justin Fields, your Cole Kmet, your Mooneys, these sorts of guys. Then you got a ton of young guys. And we have no expectations for this team. So you're going to expect a lot of young guys are playing, that means they're going to at least play hard. Let's at least hope they're interesting to watch, because we're not going to be sitting here talking about any kind of a playoff run or anything anywhere near that. And I mean, they're in their honeymoon phase too. You know, I was thinking, as bad, as horrible as the Nagy era turned out to be, I mean, that first season was good.
Yeah.
And if Cody Parkey doesn't double doink, Matt Nagy might still be the coach. I mean, the entire trajectory of that franchise may have been a little bit different if they win that playoff game. You know, who knows what's going to happen. So we're all feeling good about the new regime. There's reasons to feel good about it, but it's also like that first year of Nagy was pretty good too. And I think we're all at the end of that year, we were all feeling pretty good too. And that ended up as a monkeypox COVID shit show. So,
yeah, I mean, I think what we're looking for is, like, I've written it a couple of times. I just want the offense to be fun.
Just be fun.
Just, you know, just don't be three hitches and a punt every yeah. time. Because runs are like, ooh.
Yeah. Don't be the Bears version of starting Jason Hayward, you know.
Yeah.
Or now as Alfonso Rivas. Like, play the young guys. Play the guys who you need to find out. Are they going to be part of this franchise going forward or not? You've got a handful of guys we know about, but mostly you don't.
Yeah, the good news is, other than my favorite player, big play Bob Quinn, and Cody Whitehair, is there anybody that's not young?
Well, yeah, the MVP of the league is not young.
Cairo's ageless. Kicker? He's going to kick till he's 70.
Let's hope so.
So, yeah, he's...
Yeah.
That would be funny if they're like, well, no, we're going to bench Cairo this week. We want to take a look at a younger kicker.
Yeah, be
we're trying to get younger there. Like, what? Wait a minute. Yeah. Why would you do that? Yeah, there's already offensive line intrigue. The offensive line seemed like it was set at Larry Borum mm-hmm. at right tackle, Tevin Jenkins at right guard, Sam Mustafa at center, Cody Whitehair at left guard, and rookie Braxton Jones
yes.
at left tackle. And Lucas Patrick, they're the only offensive lineman they've spent any money on in the offseason until they signed Riley Reiff on the second to last day or whatever. Had screwed up his hand, and he's back. But they're not sure mm-hmm. he's going to be able to snap a football. So he might play guard, which I guess right. means Tevin gets jerked around again.
It seems so strange.
Yeah, it's like, I get it. Patrick is, they think, yeah. probably their best offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Maybe they could just, remember the year that they were like right before, like literally the week, they signed Josh Sitton. Packers had shocked the world. They cut him. Pro Bowl guard gets cut. Bears right. go and get him. So then it turns into this variety of moves where they take Kyle Long and like, okay, you're a tackle now. Mm-hmm. And Cody, have you ever been center before? No. Well, on Sunday, you're going to be the center, so you better learn how to do it.
Maybe they'll do
that. Maybe they'll do that to Tevin. Now, Tevin, I know you've only been playing guard for a couple of weeks. How's center? It's the same thing. You just shove the ball between your up right to your nuts about 80 times a game. It's pretty much the same thing.
It's not that hard. Tell him, Wash. It's incredibly hard. Yeah.
Oh, that Josh Sitton thing. The Bears signed him, and then we're shocked after like week two when he threw his back out forever. It's like, yeah. Why do you think the Packers cut him?
There's a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They look around and go, well, we just got too many good linemen. We're just going to – this Pro Bowler, this cut him.
Well, you have to worry about some of these Bears acquisitions are in that mold, right? Oh, I can't believe this – you know, the Las Vegas cut this guy. We can pick him up. And the Vikings cut this receiver. We can grab him. It's a little – I don't know.
Well, and that's kind of a – I mean, that the Amir Smith-Marset pickup was fine. But mm-hmm. it's a window into just how talent void – devoid this roster is, where the guy that the Vikings are like, well, let's put him on the practice squad. Well, we might lose him. Well, who gives a shit? And right. they lose him, and then he's probably like the Bears' second or third best wide receiver.
<You're> right. <exactly. laughs> yeah.
Bears are like, hot damn, really?
Yes.
But you
he's
know,
number seven with the Vikings, our number two guy. Great.
You know, a little dumpster diving never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
I felt a little better about the Alex Leatherwood signing when Mitchell Schwartz, not from Spaceballs, former offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs, had done a extensive look at how the Raiders, in his mind, he thought were fucking up Alex Leatherwood. This was before they cut him. Basically saying, all right, here are the things he did well at Alabama. And here are the things the Raiders, even last year, and now he really thought that when they switched coaches to Josh McDaniels, that, well, they'll find a better way to use this guy. It's like, they don't. It's like taking a guy and you're like, okay, we know you don't do any of this well, but that's all we're going to ask you to do is the stuff that you suck at. It doesn't mean he's going to be any good. And the Bears, people were like, Mike Lombardi threw a fit. Oh, the Bears are the only team that claimed him. They got to pay him $6 million. It's like, have you seen? They're rolling in cap money over there.
Yeah. If nothing else, they are rolling in cap money.
They used it to their advantage. They're basically like, look, we guarantee we're going to get this guy because we're just going to pay it. And if he sucks, this not gonna, he's going to be gone. And I got to pay him next year.
Right.
I mean, this roster is going to churn week to week.
It's probably turned over 12 times since we've been talking. But, by the way, is Alabama generally considered a good college football program?
I don't know. Do they ever win anything?
I don't. Feels like they're always like in that 6-5 range.
And I don't think nobody seems to think Nick Saban knows what he's doing.
No, he's not even that good.
Why would you want to take a chance on a second year or third year?
Yeah.
Third year Outland Trophy winner? No.
Right. He was a stud at Alabama. So maybe there's some talent there. Yeah.
And if there's not, what did you lose?
Nothing.
You lose nothing.
Nothing. So, you lose, particularly with this year, there's nothing. You're not playing for anything. There's no expectation. You're in your honeymoon phase. There's no expectations. None of us hold out the slightest hope that the Bears are going to make a playoff run. So why not see what you got? Take some flyers. Play a lot of young guys. I mean, the thing about playing young guys, they will eat up the hit, the Eberflus shit, the hits principle and all that rah-rah shit. The young guys will eat that up. Will older guys eat that up? I don't know. We'll see. But the young guys are certainly going to eat it up.
So I can't remember where Jalen Johnson was getting interviewed about. He got asked about the hits principle.
Yeah.
He was not, he admitted, he said, when I rolled my eyes when they explained it to us. Like, really? Do you really have to do this? And he said, by the fourth or fifth practice, it just becomes second nature. And they're like, well, what happened? What do you do? He said, well, you get your ass chewed if you don't hustle. That's basically what he said. You get tired of getting your ass chewed, and then you just start to hustle, and you realize it's not really that hard to do that.
Yeah. Just basically hustle.
Yeah. Basically, the whole idea is the more, especially on defense, the more bodies you have around the ball, if it comes out, it's more likely you're going to get it. If a guy breaks a tackle, it's more likely that there's going to be somebody there. It's
right.
It's the simple stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the whole defense is very Lovey-esque.
Yeah.
They do a lot of Lovey stuff. Like, they do the stuff, and Eberflus admitted that he stole some of it from Lovey. When he was a young assistant, he was a college assistant. He went to training camp and watched the Rams when Lovey was the defensive coordinator. And some of the stuff stuck with him. Like, why wouldn't you, in practice, every time there's a ball on the field, the defensive guy should pick it up and run with it?
Right.
What's it ever going to hurt you in a game if you pick up a ball and it's dead? You just have to turn around and hand it to the ref.
Right.
And, for all the people who thought, well, big deal. I mean, the year Lovey leaves, the Bears lose a chance to go to the playoffs because their entire team let a ball just lay on the field against the Packers until the Packer picked it up and ran it in for a touchdown.
Yep. So, yeah, and that's the look, that stuff's going to work with young guys. There's a lot of young guys on this team, a lot of guys who are hoping to have a career in the NFL. Effort is not going to be a problem with this team. If it is, there's something really wrong.
Yep.
So,
effort should be the minimum. I mean, the David Ross defenders can't tell you enough how it proves he's a good manager because the Cubs are still playing hard at the end of a terrible season.
It's ridiculous.
Like, that's great. But honestly, I know it's not, but that should be the given. It's the sign that you've lost the team when they stop hustling. It's not the sign that you're a genius because they are. And the Cubs are similar. There's a lot of...
Yes.
They're full of young guys or I mean, you got like Big Poopy, who is trying to salvage his career. Of course, they're going to bust their ass, and they should.
Right.
It's stupid not to.
Well, is Wilson Contreras never not going to play hard? I mean, come on. It's so ridiculous. It's already. And by the way, if we're talking about that, I've never seen anybody play less hard than Andrelton Simmons. He looked like he was waiting for a bus standing out in the infield. He couldn't care less.
Oh, he's just smooth. It just doesn't look like he. Wait, no, he's not playing hard.
Yeah.
Speaking of Wilson, I hope the Bears aren't consulting with Cubs trainers very much. So Wilson, we all saw sprain his ankle very badly in the Field of Dreams game.
A month ago.
When was the Field of Dreams game? We did the Field of Dreams podcast. It was a long time ago. He went on the injured list today with that injury.
It's like a month. It's almost a month. That's incredible.
Well, the Cubs wanted to wait and see if they got back into the pennant race, and they almost did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know. They won five series in a row there for a while. They were great. And then they ran into the Cardinals, who just kept beating them about the head and shoulders repeatedly. Yeah. And that was the end of that shit. Yeah.
Insane. So yeah, this team's going to play hard, no doubt about that. And if not, you know, the guys will literally be replaced before the next game, because Poles has shown no hesitation for churning this roster over and over, and that's fine. That should be his right approach.
It is funny in the NFL more than other sports. You'll be like, when your team is not good, it's not that unusual that you sit down on Sunday and start watching them and someone is running around the field and you're like, who is that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, they signed him Friday. And he's playing? Like, yeah, he's playing. It's like, oh, right. I didn't know that. When did we get this guy? Who is this guy? Did a fan run onto the field? No, he's one of the players? Really? Oh. Well, good for him.
How did he perform at Myrtle Beach? Yeah.
I'm so good at this. I should probably write some of this stuff down. Somebody posted the Bears practice squad. You know, they're up to 16 now. That's a COVID legacy. They doubled the size of the practice squad. Right, and well, the salaries of the guys on the practice squad. And the Bears have the highest paid practice squad in the league. However, someone else pointed out, yeah, they're the highest paid. You're showing their salaries if they were on the active roster. You don't make that on the practice squad. You do make, the longer you've been in the league, the more you make on the practice squad. But you don't, like, Nathan Peterman, the great Nathan Peterman.
The great, yeah.
Who may be in danger of losing his job. I don't know if you heard that the Bears brought in a former Packer backup, Benkert. I get that name wrong. And he worked out, he could be the emergency third quarterback.
Wow. How exciting.
They're like, he doesn't make $300,000. He makes like $60,000 being on the practice squad.
Yeah, right. Two hots and a cot. Yeah.
But it's funny. I think the average age of the Bears practice squad is older than their roster. It's like that's where they're keeping the old guys.
Yeah.
And eight of them every week you get to protect. Because the way the practice squad works is you can grab somebody off the other team's practice squad and put him on your active roster and they have to let him go.
Right.
But not. The Bears have eight that they can. Every team has eight guys now. They can say, no, we don't want him to go actually be on a real roster and get to play. He's in our weird limbo.
It's a big part of our future. Yeah.
The other thing I've never understood is the fact that you have 53 guys on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple hours before game time, you tell seven of them, you can't play today.
Makes no sense.
It's like, just why can't you just have all 53 of them active?
Right.
The reasoning way back in the day when they started to do that was too many substitutions.
Ooh.
Who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Are there any
it
fans like, look at this guy, every play, three guys run on the field and three guys run off. I can't keep, I'm trying to keep score here. Are you? Yeah. What's that? I don't even know what that means.
Right. There's a play clock. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
And I thought the whole idea, so for player safety, they'll have the guys run around and practice with pillows on there on top of the tape to their helmets.
Right.
But in the game, they take seven of your active players. Like, okay, no, those guys can't play.
No,
they can't play today. You hit your head. You know, you're either going to play a man short or they're dragging your ass back out on the field.
Right. Right. It's pretty ridiculous because, you know, NFL football is a particularly violent game. So if guys are getting banged up on literally every single play, you just hope most of them are able to continue to play the entire game. But yeah, there's plenty of guys who we think maybe you want to sit this one out here, coach.
I wondered if you think maybe Dick Stockton is the reason for that rule.
Dick Stockton.
He's like, I can't memorize all these names. You got take 14 of them and just don't let them play. You're going to call old Madolfo Soriano anyway, Dick. What does it mean? What does it matter?
Right. The Dick Stock rule, we call that.
The Dick Stock rule. Well, that reminds me. I don't know who the do we know who the announcers are?
No. It must be there. Bears.
Is it even do we even know what channel it's on?
Well, we we know.
Oh, yes, we do. It's on Fox. And it is Mr. World Series himself, Joe Davis.
Oh, Joe Davis, my guy.
And this is a little underwhelming. Moose Johnston.
Oh, the Moose.
Why is he still?
The Moose.
So what is that? It's the Fox third team?
It's because of the Niners, yeah, I guess.
Well, yeah, San Francisco, Chicago. They get some relatively big markets. They're not, mm-hmm. they're gonna give you the... Well... Yeah, you're not getting the best guys. You're getting some guys, yeah. Though.
Yeah.
So defensively, the Bears spent 3 of their 11 draft picks on defensive backs. First mm-hmm. two picks, mm-hmm. Keller Gordon and Javon and Jaquan Brisker, and then Elijah Hicks later in the draft, and Elijah looked good. So it's like, hey, maybe they found 3 good defensive backs. Even with all that, one of your starting cornerbacks, Kendall Vildor.
Terrific.
I'm sure maybe he's just been waiting for the, maybe the hits philosophy will unlock. Yeah. Will unlock
maybe
Kendall.
He's better now. Right.
I think I have an idea. The 9 times that the Niners actually let Trey throw will all be at Kendall Vildor.
Probably, you would think.
Bears might want to change his number play to play. Can you do that? And just swap
why
jerseys?
Not?
I can't find it. What number is he now? another thing that amused me is that, it's training camp. You spend all this time. You play all those preseason games. And Bears starting linebacking core, free agent signing Nicholas Morrow,
right,
who played in the preseason, Roquan, who didn't, and right. Sterling Weatherford, who played in the preseason for the Colts. That's how much it meant. It's like, okay, we signed this guy. He's going to be starting now. Wait, he's going to what?
Yeah.
And it's a big flex from Sterling Weatherford. What number do you think he took? It's a famous Bears linebacker number.
Oh, did he take? Did he take 50?
50. A lot to live up to.
That's a big flex, is right? Yeah. Okay. Singletary Jr. Let's see.
Everybody's favorite special teams ace now, Jack Sanborn. Did you get your 57 Sanborn jersey? Have you ordered that?
I thought it was a Tom Thayer jersey. See, I got screwed. I messed up.
There's way too many Wisconsin alums in Chicago media, and they're all excited about Jack Sanborn. It's like, that's great.
We don't need to be excited.
He's a slow white linebacker. We've seen him come. We've seen him go. They take a while to go because they're slow. But,
yeah.
And so here's a weird thing. This has nothing to do with – well, it kind of has something to do with the Bears. They changed – they freed up – it used to be the NFL was very rigid about numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Positions could only wear certain numbers, and now they've kind of thrown that out. Well, the Von Miller is wearing 40 for the Buffalo Bills. That's what he wore with the Rams when he got traded over there.
Okay.
And somebody noticed that the Bills have him listed at linebacker instead of defensive end, and they asked why, and they said, "Well, we have to because he's wearing number 40." I didn't think that was a thing anymore. I think the Bills are just like the old guy who hands out the numbers. Like, we can't do that. It's like, well, actually, you can.
Yeah.
So the offense, it's Luke Getsy is our is the new offensive coordinator.
He's our savior.
Spent a few years as the quarterback coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
Got to call plays in the preseason. So he's used to that. Sure. He has to call plays this preseason. Do you wonder if he think he just called the same three plays for the Bears that he used to call for the Packers?
That's probably right.
And the Bears are running, in effect. Do you remember the great movie Multiplicity?
Yeah, one of the best. The great Michael Keaton.
With Michael Keaton. And remember when number two, I think it was number two that did this, right?
Mm-hmm. Number two.
Number one shows up, and there's a new clone.
Yeah.
And he's like, where did we get him? And he's like, well, you know how when you make a copy of a copy, it's not quite as sharp?
Quite as sharp, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the guy who called everybody Steve. Hey, Steve. So the Bears are running the Kyle Shanahan offense.
Mm-hmm.
That is also run by Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
And was also run then by Matt LaFleur.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the copy of a copy of a copy of the Kyle Shanahan offense. This is like a fourth hand-me-down of the original offense.
So we should call it the Steve offense.
The Steve. They're running the Steve. That should just be there. Like,
they're running the Steve. Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, you know how like Peyton Manning has the Omaha.
Yeah.
And the Packers. Aaron Rodgers has Blue 80.
Yeah.
Steve, that's what just feels good.
Right,
and all that signifies is the next thing after the Steve is the real. You can ignore all the other bullshit. That's all Omaha ever meant. Peyton's up there waving around, yelling, doing all whatever, and the lineman didn't have to pay any attention until he yelled Omaha. And then once he yelled Omaha, then the next thing he said was the audible, or he was just snapping the ball. So that could just Steve. They'll just yell.
Yeah,
I think it's probably good to have a one syllable word.
Most
of the guys will just miss in the crowd noise then.
Right. The Bears run the 46 defense and the Steve offense. There you go. How about that?
I remember when playing high school football, we didn't have a lot of audibles. But we had a couple. And on defense, what was the actual audible? I can't remember. It was a three-syllable word.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to come up with a new one for a playoff game. And I don't know why, but somebody suggested...
Wait, why did you... Because you were afraid that it had been scouted?
No, there was a different defensive... We were going to shift to a different defense. We had to come up with a new name so that we didn't shift into the other one.
Okay.
Somebody suggested Hurricane. And our head coach said, no, that's too many syllables. And we're like...
Coach,
it's the same as the other
coach,
one, which might have been tornado. I don't know what it was. I forget what it might have been tornado. I forget what it was. But I always remembered that. It was the, no, that's too many syllables. Is it?
That's beautiful.
And then he's like, well, it's too many letters. It's like, well, we're not spelling it on the field. It's not
not a spelling bee, coach.
Now, if we'd have known the hits principle was going to be big, we would have just gone with hits.
Right.
But we didn't know that.
Because that makes complete sense.
So offensively, one of the exciting things is that for the first time all year, Justin Fields is going to have all of his weapons. All the receivers practiced this week.
Oh, boy.
And I was actually wrong today in my we're recording this on Tuesday. So at Tuesday's column, I did a little – I took all the position groups and I ranked them. And I ranked the wide receivers very poorly. And I said they only got five of them. They have six. I forgot Dante Pettis.
Oh, how could you forget Dante Pettis?
Do you know who Dante Pettis' dad is?
Mr. Pettis.
It's former Texas Ranger Gold Glove center fielder and current Houston Astros third base coach, Gary Pettis.
Really?
It is.
Look at that.
Forgot him. Yeah. But Justin's got all the guys. And a new guy. He's got Amir Smith-Marset.
Right.
When has it ever gone wrong adding an Iowa wide receiver?
The only good Iowa wide receiver now plays for Purdue, Charlie Jones. But yeah, other than that, there are not any good Iowa receivers.
Charlie Jones, he's got to be in his 90s, right?
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some might call him a future draft king.
Oh, look at that! Look at that. That is suave. I appreciate.
See, like how I did that? You see how I did that? Yeah.
Football fans, the first Sunday of the NFL season is here, and DraftKings, a casino queen sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And as an added bonus for Week 1, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings' early win promotion. It's simple. Bet on an NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. Do you think the Bears can get up by 10 at any point over the Niners?
I do not.
Yeah, probably not. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code POINTLESS. What's the promo code?
It's POINTLESS, I believe.
POINTLESS. To get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's code POINTLESS. Only at DraftKings, a Casino Queen Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. 21 and older, Illinois only. Bonus issued as free bets. One early win token issued at opt-in, moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/footballterms. And now, because this is, here's a little special. Here's a special bonus.
Oh, boy.
The promotion that I read last week still applies because it's for the Thursday night game. So depending on when you're listening to this, if the Bills and, what is it, Bills and Rams?
Sure, let's go with that. Yeah.
That sounds right. In that one, if you that one, they have the same deal about the early win promotion, but in that game, it's just 7 points.
Oh.
So
see, there
you
go.
Either you can pick either the Rams or the Bills. I pick the Bills. And even if the Rams win, if the Bills are up 7 at any point, I win.
I like that. I like that. Yes. I find it ironic that the code for the DraftKings is pointless.
It's funny because last year they did a series of ads with us, and they asked me what I wanted to use as the code. And I said, well, we should use exercise because you guys don't want the promo code to be pointless.
Right.
And this year they're like, well, we used exercise last year. Let's use pointless.
All right. Okay. Okay, fine.
And I'm like, okay, you guys know better than me.
Right. Always go with the under.
I should have been on Scott Van Pelt's Sports Center after the LSU Florida State game.
Oh, how great was that?
The over was 50.5. And DraftKings had a deal where you had a free college bet. You had to bet more than $10. And if it lost, they just credited the $10 back. So I threw some money in there. And I took the over.
Mm-hmm.
And the game, nobody scored forever. And
right.
I kind of gave up on it. I had the game on kind of in the background, and I'm looking up, and all of a sudden there's a flurry of points in the second half, and all of a sudden the Fighting Brian Kellys are driving down the field, and if they score and kick the extra point, they're going to tie the game at 24. It's going to go to overtime, and then I'm going to win.
Because you're going to get your 51, yeah.
At the least, somebody's going to kick a field goal.
Right.
And that's going to be 51, and I'm going to win. So I'm like, well, Ryan Kelly's a shitbag, and he might as well lose in overtime. He might as well win me some money, and then he can lose in overtime.
Everybody's happy that way.
So there was the whole thing where Jason Taylor's kid, that plays tight end for LSU. They look like the Rams, kind of.
Right. LSU might have a bigger payroll, but yeah.
He catches the ball. He tries to score. He realizes he's not going to. He tries to get out of bounds. It looks like he gets out of bounds. But on the replay, his knee is down just before he can get out of bounds with 1 second to go in the game. And I'm like, oh, this is how I'm going to lose. Because Florida State challenged him. I'm like, oh, this is how I'm going to lose. You know, right. They're going to – it happened in It happened to NIU in a bowl game last year where the refs started the clock too soon. There was right. the same thing. It was like 3 seconds left. Northern got up to the line. It's like, just blow it. And one of the former Alabama quarterbacks, Greg McElroy, I think, was the color analyst with Joe Tessitore. And when you get Joe Tess, you know the game's going to be nuts. Right. I mean, he did two things he does. He does crazy mini putt, and he does boxing, and he also does crazy college football games. And McElroy says, he's like, well, what we were taught was to just get to the line, and the whistle to start play is the snap count. As soon as the center hears the whistle, the ball's ready to play, it's going to snap it, and you can't be late.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, they're still going to fuck it up. It's LSU. They're going to fuck it up.
Right, right.
The refs, after a ponderously long review, it took forever. Mm-hmm. say, okay, we're going to let them have one more play. They get one more play.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, so they could take their time. And then Florida State calls timeout anyway, so it didn't matter. They didn't even have to hurry up. They right. throw a touchdown pass on the last play. And I'm like, oh, look at this. I'm going to win some money. This is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Little kicker runs out. McElroy says, don't forget, they already blocked a field goal. I'm like, it's an extra point. You're not going to get an extra point block. You can kick that thing straight up in the air.
Well, that's not going to happen. What does that ever happen?
So he gets blocked, and I lose. And I feel a little bit bad, but not much. And I see Brian Kelly, and I'm like, it's worth it. It was completely worth it. I would have paid totally 10 times as much to watch him have to go through that. So that was fine. So there's your college football gambling corner, a recurring feature on the Bears podcast.
Oh, look at that. Outstanding. Outstanding.
So last year, Justin Fields probably had three iconic games. Iconic for the Browns game, iconic for all the wrong reasons,
mm-hmm.
where he was buried under a large pile of brown after every snap.
Right. Right.
The Pittsburgh game, where he, if not for a couple of terrible calls by the officials, mm-hmm. one on the great Cassius Marsh for actually celebrating a sack, and another on James Daniels for a block below the knees in the tackle box when he wasn't in the tackle box. Justin Fields had a great second half, and the Bears should have won that game.
Right.
And his other iconic game was against these 49ers. It was his second start. I think it was the week after the Browns game. First home start. And he had that one play in particular where it's funny to watch it and realize, you know, Nagy's celebrating like he really did something. It's like, okay, nothing you drew up worked on this play. Nobody blocked. Nobody got open. Your super athletic quarterback ran around and saved your ass and scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
So now he's back against the Niners, hopefully with some semblance of an actual game plan and an offense. Who do you think is going to score the Bears' first touchdown, assuming they score a touchdown? Let's assume they score a touchdown against the Niners. Who's going to score it?
I'm going to go with Cole Kmet.
That's a good guess. That's who I think that's who I was going to guess.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a tight end friendly offense, so we'll see.
So I'm going to go with Eddie Jackson.
Eddie Jackson also finds you. Right.
It's funny. I have high hopes for Eddie this year.
You do?
I do.
Despite all,
and I will give up. I will abandon them within 5 minutes of the game if I see fit.
Immediately.
I feel like Eddie was miscast once Vic Fangio left.
Mm.
First, Chuck Pagano and then Sean Desai foolishly thought that Eddie could just play safety the way a safety is supposed to play it.
Yeah.
And he can't. He doesn't really like to tackle.
Right.
And I think a big part of them getting Jaquan Brisker was Jaquan can handle all the hard shit and Eddie can just go try to steal the ball.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I'm sticking with that until we see him forget to touch when Debo is laying on the ground and Eddie walks by and looks at him and Debo gets up and runs 60 more yards for a touchdown. That'll be the end of my Eddie Jackson hope. But
yes, that would be a proper end. Yeah.
That looks good. All right, so let's we've got to figure out how many games the Bears are going to win. So let's do the traditional. We're going to go through the schedule. We're going to figure out wins and losses for the Bears.
Here we go. Right.
So Sunday, right. Home against the Niners.
The Bears, Niners, of course.
Yeah, that's a loss. 0-1. Yeah. Week 2, at Green
Bears.
Bay.
Bears. Oh. At Green Bay? Bears.
At Green Bay.
Of course.
I'm saying it like Lovey. Green Bay.
0-2.
Would it change your mind if I tell you that it's on Sunday Night Football?
Oh, it would not.
God, why do they do that?
What a horrible game that's going to be.
Wrong
with
NBC. Can they flex out in week 2? Can you flex out of games in week 2? I don't think you can.
I don't think so. It's too early. Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay.
Sunday, September 25th, home against the Houston Texans.
L.
You're giving them a loss against the Texans?
I'm giving them a loss.
Wow. New Lovey beats old Lovey. Bears are 1-2.
Okay. All right. I got them 0-3.
October 2nd, at the Giants.
Who are you going? Who are you taking? You go first on this one.
I'm taking the Bears.
Bears.
2-2. All right.
They need to win at some point. Okay. I'll go with the Bears too. 1-3.
Think about it. So at 2-2, be riding high with the floos.
Oh, the floos.
Oh.
The floos is loose.
People are going to be like, holy crap, how come I can't? They're going to be taunting the Giants. You hired Daboll, you could have had the floos.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I hope there's going to be a floos shirt on the Pointless Exercise.
The floos.
store. Yeah. The floos is loose. There's your shirt right there.
All right, I can tell you the shirt already.
Okay.
The floos is loose on the front, on the back. Going to have hits. Yeah. But it stands for he is the shit. That's what HITS stands for with the floos. He's the shit.
That actually makes more sense than the real HITS. At least it lines up as an acronym.
It reminds me of the shirt I wanted to sell, but it didn't have a good hookup back in the day with the Dick Geron, the crazy season where they had to walk off wins every week. And I wanted I thought it'd be cool to have a shirt in Bear colors. It just said, I like Dick.
I like Dick.
I like Dick.
Nice. Well, it's kind of that's reminiscent of We Got Wood.
Yep.
Yeah.
Week 5, okay. At the Vikings.
Okay. Well, that's a loss.
That's a loss. Yes, it's a loss.
Okay. All right. So you got them 2-3. I got them 1-4. Yep. Okay.
Thursday, October 13th, on Amazon Prime.
Ooh, with Al Michaels.
With orange helmets.
I like the orange helmets.
The Washington Commanders.
Washington.
At Soldiers Field.
Okay, well, you go first. So let's alternate, and this one's you.
I'm going to win.
I'm going to go win with that, too.
So I got them. I've lost track already.
I don't even know what the hell. I got 2 wins. Well, how many games are we at?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got them 3-3.
You got them 3-3?
3-3.
Wow. I got them 2-4. Okay.
Okay, then they get a week off.
Oh, I got
much,
the Bears
much
in that
needed,
one.
Much needed rest.
Bears, I got the Bears in the bye week.
Good job. Yeah. And then Monday Night Football. Wow, not only, how about this? Not only do you get Joe and Troy over on Big ESPN, already confirmed for the first time ever, the Manning family jamboree is going to do a Bears game.
Oh, outstanding.
Because they are at New England.
I'm going to go with New England.
Yeah, 3-3. So you got them. What do you have?
I got 2. No, I got 2.
5.
2-5.
I got 3-4.
Okay.
Sunday, October 30th, at Dallas.
That's you.
That's a loss.
Yeah, that's
3-5.
Right, 2-6.
Sunday, November 6th, home against the Dolphins.
I'll go with the beloved in that one. I'll give it to the Bear in that one.
Yeah. I am too. I don't see Tua out dueling Justin Fields.
Right.
Wow. So I got 4 wins.
We got it. Yeah. I got
Whoa,
3.
Shit.
Got 3.
We're in the hunt.
Team.
I got the Bears. The Bears are in the hunt. Who knew?
Absolutely.
Sunday, November 13th, It's at home, and this guy, these guys are going to fight you, even if you got three toes and one ass cheek. They're going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell and the Fighting Detroit Lions.
Oh my goodness! Well, that's all you.
Bears.
Wow, you got him at 5 wins. What a team!
5-5.
Woohoo! I'm gonna go with the Bears too. All right, I got 4.
All right. Sunday, November 20th, at the team that currently employs Ryan Pace, Phil Emery, and every cast-off Bear ever. The best was when they cut Kyrus Tonga.
Yeah,
he was like the last cut because Armin Watts showed up on waivers and they grabbed him. I was like, when did the Falcons sign him? 2 days later is when the Falcons signed Kyrus Tonga. That's when they did.
Right.
It's in the Georgia Dome against the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I got a loss there.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
Pace gets his revenge. He'll be strutting around. Well, yep. Yeah, it's my new team, much better than my old team.
Right.
All right, so I got him 5-6. You got him 4-7.
Yep. God, we got 6 more games to go. Okay.
Yeah, this extra week is...
It's killing me.
And actually, they didn't have a bye back there. They just had an extra time off because they were playing on Thursday. Because the bye week is still coming up.
Okay.
Sunday, November 27th. Hey, the Bears aren't ruining Thanksgiving this year. That's good.
At
the New York Jets. They get to play both the Jets and the Giants on the road this year.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Is this me again?
That's you.
I'm taking the Jets. I don't see the Bears going to New York and beating both New York teams. I actually think the Jets are kind of... It's funny, the Jets lost more players on waivers than any other team. And like that's Mike Francesa was going, oh, they can't even evaluate their own roster. It's like, or how about this? How about the bottom half of the Jets roster is better than a lot of teams' bottom halves? The problem is their top half of the roster is not better than anybody else's team. That's how you get a mediocre team, Mike.
That's how you do it.
But I'm going to take the Jets. So
yeah, I'm going to go with the Jets.
What is it, 5-7?
And you 5-7, 4-8, yeah.
All right, here we go. Here's your upset special.
Okay.
Think how good this would feel. Sunday, December 4th, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers show up, and he's doing his, I own you, I still own you, and the Bears just give a big foot right up his ass.
Oh, we got the Pack coming to town. Let's go with the upset. Let's go Bears.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bears.
All right.
Screw the Packers.
So it's 5, and I got 5. You got?
6.
6, okay.
6-7. Then the bye. Bears dominate the bye.
Always.
Rest up, because they're home. They got 3 out of 4. So the playoff race down here at the end, 3 of 4 are at home.
Okay.
For my 6-7 Bears, they're hosting the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, who you got?
I want to take the Bears. I'm going to take the Eagles, I think. Yeah, I've got too many wins for them already.
You got to take the Eagles, yeah.
The next week, pretty confident in this one, in my pick. Maybe not so in the Bears. Christmas Eve.
Ooh.
It's a home game against the Buffalo Bills.
I would take the Bills in that one.
Probably going Bills there.
Uh-huh.
New Year's Day. They got Christmas Eve and New Year's Day.
Wow.
I would think you're going to be flying back because you're going to want to spend New Year's Eve in this town.
Good Lord. Oh.
Play Dan Campbell and the Detroit, who I'm sure will be fighting for the playoffs. I want to talk about the Lions in a minute after we finish the schedule thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Detroit at home.
Yeah, I got to go. I got to agree.
And the finale.
There we go.
It's a home game against the Minnesota Vikings. Ooh. It's to be determined. They didn't even put the time. They didn't put it at noon because they're like, ooh, this could be for, this might be for home field advantage in the NFL between these two teams. So we better keep this open in case we need to flex it to NBC.
Yeah, you want to save that game. I'm going to say the home dogs are barking, I'm going to go with the Bears.
I'm going to take the Bears.
Okay.
So they don't lose. They don't lose out. They go 1-3. So that I have the Bears at 7-10.
Okay, I got them at 6-11.
So here it is: the over/under for the Bears this year. 6.5.
Right,
so
there.
Yeah, I went just over, and you went just under.
There you go. I like it.
No reason to even play him now.
Yeah,
you already know what happens.
It's automatic.
So the Lions. I don't know if you've been watching Hard Knocks.
I've got to get caught up on my Hard Knocks.
It's been a pretty entertaining Hard Knocks. As big a meathead as Dan Campbell is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the NFL Films guys are good. In fact, I was thinking about this. So because you watch the team and it's obviously tried to be portrayed in the best light possible. I think the Hard Knocks teams get like a bounce out of it in public opinion.
I think so.
People are like, the Lions, I saw them on Hard Knocks, they're pretty good. And then they come out and they play and you're like, oh God, they're awful.
God, they're terrible.
I thought of the one time when it didn't happen, when it went the opposite way. I don't know if you remember. This is Hard Knocks been out forever. Do you remember the Dave Campo Cowboys season?
Oh, yeah, I do.
You could tell he was so overmatched as a head coach that everybody like ran away from the Cowboys. No, they're going to be awful.
Yeah.
This guy's a moron.
The best season ever it was the first season with Baltimore.
Yeah.
It was still the best ever with Goose. Shannon Sharp. It was a great season.
You have that great when they had to do the rookie talent show, and I don't know who the guy was. He did the spot on imitation of Shannon Sharp.
It was fantastic.
And you even have the iconic. The season will never start better.
Yeah.
Than with Brian Billick in a hammock reading a Rick Pitino book.
It's perfect. Perfect.
It'll never start any better than that.
Yeah, that was great.
So if you're the, I think people are like, oh, I think the Lions might be pretty good. Jared Goff really looks sharp this year. So he's still Jared Goff. They're still whatever. Now they might have the better of the St. Brown boys, Amon-Ra, over Equanimeous, or as Jim Miller calls him, Equanimous.
That's that Michigan State education paying
Equanimous.
Off.
Equanimous, and he said it so confidently. Oh, that's the first catch of the preseason for Equanimous. It's like, let's try that again.
Try it again, Jim.
Now, their dad, former Mr. Universe.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And you've seen him a few times on Hard Knocks. He has a jersey. Did you see his jersey that he was wearing?
I only saw the first episode of Hard Knocks, so no, I missed it.
So I think it's in the second episode. He's got, it's weird. You see a lot of times they wear like the half, they stitch two jerseys together. And usually they go right down the middle, right? And so you expect it'll be half Lions, half Bears. The way his went was the sleeves were the Lions, but the torso was the Bears.
Wow.
And I don't know what the back was because he never saw him. He was sitting in the stands. Yeah. But it's like, oh, that's awful. Nobody's going to tell him because he'd beat the shit out of you. But it was bad. So the other big news we got today was on Thursday. The Bears are going to do a little dog and pony show at a high school where they're going to show off their plans of if the sale goes through and if they decide they're going to build a stadium in Arlington Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what it might look like. Well, today the Bears
released their open letter.
Yeah.
Which is, I read, is pretty much a fuck around and find out with us letter.
Well, it's clearly this is happening, and everybody better just get ready. But to me, it was almost like, literally, it had a lot of ifs in it. The ifs were italicized.
That was crazy.
And it cracked me up.
It cracked me up, too, yeah.
It's almost like they showed it to, George, and he's like, oh, we need to make the ifs stand out more.
Maybe if we put italicized the ifs.
Because I don't know. What if we don't do this? If we can't get the financing? It's like you're not buying a Dodge, George. I think the financing is pretty much already set up. Your franchise is worth $5.8 billion without a stadium.
Yeah, I think you
don't own
a
stadium. You're going to get the money because your franchise is going to be worth like $8 billion when you're done building this thing.
I think it's going to kind of make us look juvenile if we do that. But if you want, we'll italicize the ifs. So that's fine.
So the ifs I enjoyed. I also enjoyed the fact that they put out some renderings. And did you see a stadium in those renderings anywhere?
I saw a lot of shopping malls. Yeah. So that was exciting. A lot of restaurants, things of that nature.
And then they did describe the stadium, the invisible stadium they're going to build. Maybe it's going to be like a Wonder Woman jet thing. And stadium's just going to be invisible. Cool. Then yeah. You can stand behind it and you can still see the skyline if you squint and if it's a clear day and you jump up in the air.
By the way, can we just say, it's so stupid. Whatever the final design, it's going to change 6 trillion times, this design. Yes. It's moronic for them to say, oh, here's what it's going to look like. No, it's not. This is your first draft of 700 to come.
But they, in the description of the stadium, they refer to it as an enclosed stadium.
Yes, enclosed. And
Bears Twitter upset. Went nuts with what they're so cheap, they're not even going to put a retractable roof on it, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, first of all, enclosed, does enclosed mean it can't have a retractable roof?
Of course
like,
not.
My garage is enclosed when the door is down.
Yeah, right.
And then when I can hit a button and it opens, and it's not enclosed anymore because I need to get the fucking car out of it.
You have a retractable door on your garage, Mr. Fancy Pants?
It is okay. Fancy. And yeah. I don't even have to, like, pull it up. There's a button and it just automatically does it. It squeals a lot. By the way, probably should lube that.
By the way, even assuming the worst case, which meaning it's only enclosed, is that really the worst thing? It's Chicago. The weather's not exactly good.
No. So I got to thinking about the retractable roofs cost a lot of money.
Yes.
They really do. It's somebody estimated probably is a it's probably having one or not having one is probably a $500 million idea. Now is SoFi Stadium down there in LA where you aren't mm-hmm. even been to.
Yes, I have.
Is that a retractable roof? Or is that roof all was on? Okay.
Well, it's got, first of all, it never rains or snows here in LA, but it's designed in a way that it still protects you from the elements if the elements were ever to arrive, which they are not.
But there's a lid on it, right?
There's a lid on it. Yeah.
And it doesn't open.
And it's open on the, right. It's open on the, I might open a little, I don't know, but it's mainly like the sides are open.
Yeah. So that's what I'm, that's what I was getting at was, I know one of the reasons, the Vikings built U.S. Bank Stadium, I don't know how long ago. It's less than 10 years old, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 10 years old.
That's right.
And they got a lot of crap because it has a roof. It doesn't open. But what about the 6 nice days that we have a year? Maybe two of them. One of them might even be a football Saturday.
Right.
Or football Sunday. And basically what they said was, I don't know if you've noticed, but it snows a lot here. In fact, our old stadium collapsed because it snows a lot.
Collapsed, right.
And they basically said, to put a retractable roof over a football stadium where it has to be able to, you know, you want to open it and open up the whole field, the amount of extra structure you have to put in place, A, is expensive, but B, even when it's open, there's shit up there. People mm-hmm. are going to be like, it's not even open. I can see there's support up there, whatever. Basically, their thing was, let's put the roof on it and let's put a lot of windows in this thing, which the birds love. Thousands of birds smack into that stadium every day.
Right.
And I don't know how much it opens on the sides or the ends, but when you watch a Viking day game on TV, you can actually see the sun like on the field. It's kind of nice.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah.
At Miller Park, which I was trying to figure out, I think, because that's farther north than Rogers Center, the old Sky Dome. I think Miller Park is the farthest north retractable roof anything.
Hmm. Yeah,
they tend to be more southerly. And that's for baseball, and all winter they just close it up, and then it doesn't the roof works most of the time, but it doesn't. But when you're in Miller Park, and I've been there for plenty of games, on a nice day, you feel much more of an effect if they have the doors open on the back of the stadium than you mm-hmm. do when they have the roof open.
Because you get a much better breeze and
in fact, at times when, for like, if it's really windy or whatever, sometimes they'll leave the roof open, but they'll close the windows in the back.
Mm.
And it gets hot as fuck in there, even with the roof open. So if the Bears decide, you know what, we're not going to put a roof on this thing, as long as I'd like to see them somewhat emulate the kind of translucent roof that SoFi has on, where you get a lot of natural light.
Yeah,
but just be able to open the sides and the back so that on a nice day you get a breeze and birds can fly through and run into smack into things. That's what I want to see. Yeah. I don't really care if the roof opens and closes. At the end of the day, that's a novelty. It's like somebody's going to give you a really nice car, and you're like, oh, does it have a sunroof? It doesn't? Well, I don't want it then. No. I need bare weather in my car. When it snows, I like to open the sunroof and drive around when it's snowing just because I live near Chicago, and then that makes me feel like a man.
Yeah.
I never understood the whole – I mean, I guess it makes sense to me that people embrace bare weather when you don't have any choice.
Yeah,
like if
exactly.
If you're going to go to the game and it's going to suck, you want to act like it's somehow helping your team win. I'm sitting here suffering, but this is good because it helps my team win. And the 49ers, they proved that wrong when they rolled in for an NFC Championship game and it was like 15 below, and they just beat the shit out of the Bears.
Beat the shit out of them, right. Yeah.
We know that's
what people say. Right. That's people say, oh, L.A., you don't have any seasons. Really? Good. Yeah. Who the fuck wants January in Chicago? Nobody. It's 75 and sunny here. I'll take that. Thank you.
If I'm going to go to a game, I want to actually enjoy myself, and I'd like to be comfortable.
Yeah, you don't want your frozen snot dripping onto your stocking cap.
How come nobody bitches that the Bulls play in a arena that has a roof on it?
See,
don't
they should.
Don't we want Bulls weather? Yeah. All winter? The Lakers Bulls. Come to town, and it's 15 below, and there's a foot of snow on the court. You don't think the Bulls would have an advantage? Of course they would.
Right. It would work for the Blackhawks because they don't have to, the whole stadium is always freezing. Perfect.
Think Bulls. How much money they'd save by not having to, ice would make itself.
It's just so dumb.
I don't get that.
Yeah. They're not going to spend, $5 billion on a stadium or whatever and have it not, emergency alert going on.
Is it going to turn your power off?
That's what it is. It's a power alert. Yeah. Uh-oh. No, there you go. Conserve energy now. Okay.
Pusteri, are you podcasting?
Hold on. Let me just.
You're taking the grid down.
Let me text Gavin real quick. Gavin.
Yeah, we got about 10 more minutes. Everything will be fine.
Remember, I'm the guy who told you about Kimberly back in the day, so get off my ass.
Now, I say this, and it's funny. I've paid just as much attention to the stadium stuff as anybody. And what will change for me when the Bears move to Arlington Heights is they will be closer to where I live than they were before, and I still will watch the games from my recliner. Because football is a great televised sport.
Such a great televised sport.
And NFL Sundays are a lot of fun to sit here and watch. I got two TVs. I fire the other one up on the Red Zone channel. I keep tabs on everything.
Yeah.
I don't need to go. Sorry.
No.
But I want the Bears to play in a nicer stadium.
Because you might go once every couple of years. You want to go have a nice experience.
Do you think they're going to do the bullshit thing where they're like, okay, we got to play on grass. Not playing on any turf. We're going to play on grass, so we got to build the thing where we can pull where we got a roof on it, but we can pull the field out and we can set it in the parking lot and let it get rained on.
I'm sure that'll be a big point of discussion, and then they won't do it.
I hope not. It's just like you guys have you guys have played on a shitty field forever. You went from they haven't played on a decent field since they left Wrigley. They moved into Soldier Field and they had the world's hardest AstroTurf.
Yeah. Yeah. That field then, that the 85 Bears played on was like concrete. Yeah. It was horrible.
Then they switched to grass and they've never been able to successfully grow it. Does it comfort you that yesterday they tore the entire field up and they planted Bermuda grass? No, they didn't plant Bermuda grass. They laid down Bermuda grass sod. It's like, did the game sneak up on you?
Yeah.
Was that Sunday? We probably should put the grass down.
Have we been playing outside? Is this our first year playing outside?
It's like, it's
amazing.
Guys,
it's
could
amazing.
You done that maybe a couple of weeks ago? No?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So that'll be fun. The guys will be running around. Big tire rolls of sod will be coming up under players.
That's great. Wonderful.
It is funny, though. Apparently the Bears have been pushing for the switch from Kentucky Bluegrass.
Kentucky Bluegrass, as we all know, who are Kadishek fans.
something, Kentucky Bluegrass Sensimilla. It's like, there's beauty of this stuff. You can play 36 holes on it, and then at night you could just get stoned to the bejesus belt on the stuff.
Jesus belt on the stuff.
So the Bears for the last few years have been pushing for this special blend of Bermuda grass, which apparently somehow grows and thrives in northern climates.
Oh, yeah.
And Park District like had always said, nah, we're not doing that. Until now, with the Bears with one foot out the door.
Oh, you're going to move? Well, now we'll
and they're
do
like,
it.
Okay, yeah. Well, we can get you that grass you like. Huh?
You get
George,
grass.
What do you think? Maybe that's – actually, this is probably what happened. So they told George, we're going to plant the Bermuda grass. And George is like, all right. We got to italicize all the ifs. They're making a pretty strong move over here. We might want to stay. We would also be remiss if we didn't mention that Ted Phillips, this is his final season as the president of the Bears. He's going to retire.
Yes.
I thought that the timing was a little strange, given that he's pretty much only around now to shepherd the stadium plan. And you're like, oh, that seems like odd timing. And then George says, well, maybe Ted will stick around as a consultant. Of course, he will stick around as a consultant. He doesn't have to actually work, and you'll still be paying him. That's genius.
Yeah, right. Which, is that all that different than the last, you know,
I'd rather
years
pay him to not work than pay. We've seen what happens when they pay him to work. I'd rather pay him to not work.
Right.
But I enjoyed he was saying that they asked him what his proudest accomplishment was as president, and he said it was the renovations of Soldier Field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Right. He didn't point to all the Super Bowl championships under his tenure. He didn't point to that.
What was it? Since he's been president, that was Mike got ousted because of the Dave McGinnis fiasco.
Fiasco, yeah.
So that's one playoff series under Dick Geron.
Yeah, somebody had that on Twitter. Wasn't it like five presidents and three playoff games or something? What was it?
Lovie, they made the playoffs not as many times as you think under Lovie. Three times? I think just three times.
Or three playoff wins, maybe.
Never played under Lovie, they never, actually under Geron and Lovie, they didn't play they didn't play a road playoff game.
Yeah.
It's just this weird thing where it's kind of like the Cubs pre-Theo, where the playoff seasons were like completely unexpected.
Right.
All of a sudden they'd have one really good year. Well, that was the Bears. They'd win the division, they'd get a home playoff game, they'd lose it, and then they would not be heard from again for another,
Right.
Yeah, but Ted, who got completely pantsed by Mayor Daley, because they made a good point about the plans, and they're going to unveil these plans of the stadium, and the stadium's not going to look anything like it. The original plans for Soldier Field, for the renovations, were pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They basically were tearing everything down except for the columns. And they're just going to start over, because it's like, you know, and then
they should have.
And then they're like, oh, no, we can't do that. We're going to do this and this. And how about it? Hey, what would you think about if it looks like a spaceship crashed into the lakefront? Is that what that
perfect?
Would be and
let's
but
do
still
that.
The columns, because they had to keep the columns because at the time Soldier Field was the only monument to the soldiers of World War One.
One right
now there's right. also one on the Mall in Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there was something about they were going to like make the columns bigger. And the Hysterical Society said you can't do that. You can't mess with them. And they're like, well, it's going to look really tiny. Like, no, you can't mess with them. And it does. It looks, you walk by and you're like, oh, what happened there? Why does that look like that?
Right. It's a monstrosity. So that means, by the way, 40% of the search committee is now gone.
Yeah, because
Soup, the great
Soup
Campbell.
Launched as soon as Ryan Poles could fire him. He was like, all right, no soup for us.
Thanks for the job, Soup, but you're out of here. And now Sweaty Teddy.
Sweaty Teddy's. Well, Sweaty saw that what a sweet deal Bill Polian got for being a consultant. And he's like, I want some of that.
Yeah.
That's what I want. And so
what's that Bill Polian gig? Yeah.
And he's talking to George. George's like, Ted, I don't think any other team would ever hire you to be a consultant. He's like, well, what about the Bears?
What about you, George?
George's like, oh, now we're on to something. Ooh, your incompetence is valued here. And we don't want to lose it.
We do not
want to
lose it.
We're going to fill the void. It was also funny that people were like, ooh, the Bears are going to hire a team president. It's going to be a coveted job, and maybe they'll hire Trace Armstrong. It's like, could you guys, does it have to be somebody with direct Bear connections? It's like, maybe just could you maybe go out and find a guy you think can actually like run your organization instead of? We traded him for Adewale Ogunleye once. That turned out good. So God, yeah, just knock it off.
Yeah.
All right. So the spread is 7. Bears. Mm. Bears. Niners.
Bears.
I don't have to tell you who's favored.
It would not be the Bears. No.
7's pretty steep at a home game. 7 is
pretty steep. I don't know. Pretty
and of course,
steep.
Remember, if the Bears get a, you can bet on the Bears, and if they get a 10-point lead at any time, then you're going to win.
Anytime during those 60 minutes.
Say, what if Dante Pettis runs the opening? Oh, Velus Jones runs the kickoff back for a touchdown.
Right.
Trey Lance fumbles. Kyro kicks a field goal. 2 minutes into the game, you're up 10-0. Bears lose 61-10. You still win.
How about this? What if they're like the Iowa football team? They get 5 safeties in a row.
I think the best part of that for me was I looked up. I saw the score was 5-3, and it made me laugh. And then about 20 minutes later, I looked up, and it was 7-3. And I'm like, holy shit, they got another safety.
They're unbelievable. They're just amazing. Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, the Niners are covering this easily.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Will it be another Robbie Gould revenge game? Are we still doing Robbie Gould revenge? I mean, it's
Why
been
not?
A long time, right?
Let's do
it. And none of the guys who cut him are there. They've been gone for quite a while. Remember, before the Bears got Kyro, there was the whole the Bears were trying to bring Robbie back. And Robbie was basically telling the Niners that he didn't want to kick for the Niners anymore. He wanted to go back to the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he doesn't get to play. He begged the team he's on to release him so he could go back and play for the Bears. If anything, he should be having revenge against his own team, not the Bears anymore.
That would be interesting. What if he lined up to kick field goals for the Bears? So that would be.
He runs out. Kyro's getting lined up. Robbie's shoving him. I want to kick this
out
one.
Here.
It's like, you don't even play for this team.
I'm Robbie Gould. All right, fine. Take it.
I'm Robbie Gould. I'm the greatest kicker in Bear history.
Yeah. Huh?
Kyro's like, well, not so fast.
See, now that, right. But that would be fun, though. See, that's what we want. We just want some fun. We just want some entertainment. We're not going to win a lot of games. We just want fun.
Here's what they do. I like this idea. I think we've got onto something here. The Bears go kick a field goal. They have to declare to the official, we're going to kick a field goal. Trenton Gill, the new punter holder, comes out, and he gets set up. Okay. And then you have lined up on their sidelines, Robbie on the Niners sidelines, Kyro on the Bears sidelines. Ref blows the whistle. They run onto the field.
I like it.
The ball is snapped, held down. The first one to get there gets to kick it.
Oh, perfect. I love this. This is great. Call
and the points all count for the Bears.
No matter what. I love it.
Even if Robbie makes it.
Let's do that. Points all count for the Bears.
Actually, how about this? Actually, I have a better idea. It's that way for all the kicks. On either team, and whatever kicker gets there first, that's the team that gets the points. So you got the Niners lined up to kick the game-winning field goal, but Kyro gets out there first. He kicks it, and the Bears win instead.
Right.
Oh, man, that would be so much more exciting than what we get. And I think Kyro is sneaky fast. I think the Bears would have an edge. Robbie's old.
Robbie's old. Kyro's got some wheels on.
He's tiny, deceptively small for a kicker.
Right. I like it.
All right, I'm gonna call Roger. Hey, you were in a commercial with him. You probably have.
You know what? I don't anymore, but I think Gavin can get it to me. Yeah, so I'll text Gavin and we'll get it that way.
All right. So after the rolling blackout.
See, we made it through the whole rolling blackouts all through Southern California, but not on this podcast.
No, they know. They know what we're doing.
You know who's the man.
They shut down production on season 2 of Game of Thrones. But season 3 of the football podcast on Pointless Exercise, they don't mess with that.
Use the code Pointless for your rolling blackouts.
Pointless.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, here we go. Week 1 coming up.
Yeah. All right. Well, next week we'll break down the stunning Bears upset and get ready for it'll be Packer week.
Oh, right away. Packers right into it.
Not messing around.
1 week to get settled, and here we go to Packer Week.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you.
Many of us have herpes.
I just want this to be over.